Our reading is from Luke chapter 15. Now tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. In the name of Jesus, amen. How often do the angels of God rejoice over you? How often do the angels of God rejoice over me? I mean, this is quite a gospel reading. Jesus tells us about heaven beholding the earth, beholding you, beholding me. How often do the angels of God rejoice over us? Why do they rejoice over us? It's when we repent. It's when we realize that our thinking, our talking, our conduct is out of order. Not according to our standards, but according to God's standards. How often do you find yourself going through a day and you realize, driving down the road, that you've got a really bad attitude about the drivers around you? And you realize you have a bad attitude about those driving around you. What's that called? Repentance. How often do you find yourself wanting to engage in a little bit of gossip only to realize, "Wait a second, this is gossip. I should not participate in this gossip, as juicy as it is." What's that called? Repentance. How often do you find yourself realizing, "Man, I've got a terrible attitude about my neighbor"? And you realize it. Now, how long can we be angry about something before we realize we're angry about something? Be quite some time, can't it? Or lustful, or greedy, or proud? How often can that happen? And how long sometimes can it be before we realize we've got a really bad attitude? It can take some time, can't it? But when we realize we're angry or lustful or greedy or prideful, when in that moment we realize that, what's that called? Repentance. Repentance simply means to think again about one's thought or what one has said or what one is doing or has done. That's what repentance is. And who parties? According to Jesus, the angels in heaven, they party over us. Not in a sarcastic way, Stace finally got it. They're just thankful that the lost is found, rescued from the enslavement of their own minds and hearts. coming to their senses. Holy ground. That's what it's all about. Kind of a different way of looking at what heaven really is excited about, isn't it? Not how well we sing, not how well we drive, not how hard we work, but how we repent and listen to the Holy Spirit. Heaven rejoices over our repentance. Your repentance, my repentance. When Jesus started his public ministry, he said, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." So there's two parts to this. When we realize that our thinking is sinful, that our speaking, that our actions are wrong, that we shouldn't click on this or engage in this kind of conversation, when that happens, that's repentance. And the next thing to do is to believe in the gospel. There are plenty of people that repent and then they beat themselves up. No, repent of that. Repent of beating yourself up. Believe in the gospel. Jesus says, repent and believe in the gospel. Put your faith in the gospel. It's what Jesus has done that frees you from this prideful activity, this greedy activity, this lustful activity, this slanderous gossip, whatever it is. The bad attitude about the people driving on 75. You know, when you repent of that and you trust in the gospel, probably should just pray for everybody driving on 75. Amen? Including yourself. Do we always see clearly our own driving habits until we repent? No. Sometimes repentance takes some lights flashing behind us. So Jesus said, repent and believe in the gospel. Put your faith in the gospel. It's in what Jesus has done that rescues you from you. It's what Jesus has done that has rescued you from the lies of the devil. It's what Jesus has done that rescues you from the unbelieving world that is out to get you or suck you into their own ways of thinking and talking and conducting themselves. It's in the gospel that you and I are rescued. When Luther started the Reformation, which he really didn't want to do, he just wanted to help the church get back to the gospel. He had grown to realize that Holy Mother Church was not doing a good job of teaching her children about repenting and believing in the gospel. And so they just grew up feeling bad about themselves, feeling like they never measured up to what God wanted them to do. And so he put together some statements that he wanted to help the church do some course correction. And the first one is fascinating, of the 95 Theses. Let's read it together. Our Lord and Master Jesus Christ, in saying, repent ye, etc., intended that the whole life of his believers on earth should be a constant penance. Well, repentance. So your life and my life is all about repenting. Over this, that, and the other thing. Wherever we realize and come to our senses, wait a second, Houston, there's a problem here. I shouldn't be thinking this way. I shouldn't be talking this way. I shouldn't be doing this. That's what repentance is all about. Your life and my life is to be filled with this. And the angels rejoice when we realize that our thinking and what's going on in our hearts is inappropriate. when we repent and realize we're failing God, failing ourselves, failing the people around us. That's what the church is all about, the people of God. Not that it's been very easy for the church to do that, not only in Luther's day, but back in Jesus' day. What was going on in the church? It was more like a club of self-righteous admirers, where the people who were sensitive to their sinfulness didn't feel like they belonged. It was a club. And if you didn't fit in, you didn't fit in. It was a dysfunctional family that only would let certain kinds of sins be tolerated. The sin of self-righteousness. The sin of proving to others that they're better than others. And Jesus did not belong. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the lawyers of the day, didn't like it, and they said so. Their accusation is fascinating. He sits and eats with sinners. Oh boy. That's their complaint. And yet, are you going where I'm going? That's good news. In fact, that's the gospel in a nutshell. The good news that God in flesh and blood is willing to sit and eat with sinners. That means we have a chance. That means he's willing to hang out with us. That's good news. But why are they not getting it? Their self-righteousness, they thought they were better than others. They thought they knew God better than they really knew. I mean, our Old Testament reading is fascinating to hear how God is going to shepherd himself and bring the lost and the scattered into one. Jesus is that promised land. Jesus is the king who would care for. I just loved hearing that Old Testament reading. I will, I will, I will, I will. God saying that is really good news. Because when God says, I'll do it, we know he will. And in fact, he has. He's gathered to himself sinners. Now, Jesus didn't sit and eat with sinners to condone what they were doing, to embolden them in their sins, to enable them to be more wretched. No, he came to rescue them so that the angels in heaven would sing praise over their repentance. And you and I, in our relationships with the people in our lives, need to keep that in mind. The dangers of aiding and abetting sinful activity. No, we're to love sinners. We're to pray for them. We're to encourage them. We're to point them to Jesus, just like we need to be pointed to Jesus. It's something to think about their complaint. You wonder if they even know about sin. And the danger in our relationship with the Lord is to somehow think of sins as socks. The danger is to think of sins as socks. His sins, her sins, their sins. Oh, those sins stink really bad. They're a lot stinkier than my sins. You know, we're all just sinners. We're all good at it. With all due respect to those who have PhDs, you know, we have PhDs in being sinful. It just comes natural to us. And the challenge is for us to live in repentance in that. Every day, across the ways that we live. And to understand that no one is at an advantage. We're all just really good at being sinners. We're all in desperate need of God's saving grace in Jesus. And that's what God wants us to trust in, as his own. So Jesus tells parables to the strong lay movement of the day, the Pharisee party, and to the lawyers of the day, the scribes that knew the laws of Moses, frontwards and backwards. And he talks about the value of people. You see, that club didn't even understand the value of people. They saw some people as not deserving of God's grace, and others certainly so. And so Jesus has to tell them stories about things that get lost, about sheep that get lost and coins that get lost. I mean, have you ever lost anything? It doesn't have to be very significant for it to mess with you, right? And then you think to yourself, I sure hope I can find that. And that's how God feels about us. Isn't that good news? He loves us. And he wants us to live in a relationship of repentance and faith with him. And the angels throw parties. The angels rejoice. And so Jesus tells the parable. It's so cool to understand how God said he would and he has. And we celebrate that in what God has done through his Son and in the gift of his Spirit. It's Pentecost. Sundays after Pentecost. We're the 14th Sunday after Pentecost, the time when we realized that God poured out his Spirit and the New Testament church was born. And right now, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit that you and I live in repentance and faith. Here's how Luther explained it in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. I mean, it's the Holy Spirit who's at work in your life and my life, leading us to repentance, turning on the rude awakening light bulbs. What are you thinking? Why are you talking? Why are you listening to this? Why are you doing that? The Holy Spirit is always at work in your life and my life, bringing us to our senses, those light bulbs of repentance going off, realizing and then believing in what Christ has done to save us from ourselves. And the angels rejoice day in and day out for you and for me and for all who heed the Holy Spirit's guidance. Now, can we resist the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Can we harden our hearts to the Holy Spirit's ministry to us? We can. God forbid. But that we would hear and heed the Holy Spirit's voice in our heart and mind, calling us to the awareness of our thinking and our talking and our conduct. I mean, that's God's ministry to you and me, to us and all who believe. God at work, and the angels rejoice. Heaven is filled with cheers and rejoicing over your life and my life. I mean, it goes on in the same way he calls, gathers, and lights and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it in the one true faith, the life everlasting. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. Wow, that's good news. That's good news. As we realize how broken we are, I mean, you know, you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. How often do we feel like we're just a busted up old shack? And yet we're the temple of the Holy Spirit at work within us so that heaven rejoices over us as we live in repentance and faith, as we seek to trust in what Christ has done for us that changes our lives. Not only that, but His forgiveness empowers us so that we want to carry out in our lives God's will and ways. Oh, not perfectly. You know, sin means to miss perfection. It means that we miss the mark. Transgression means we just cross the boundary, say, I know, Lord, you don't want me to do this, but I'm going to be angry for a while, or I'm going to share in this gossip for a while, or I'm going to click on and lust for a while. But the Holy Spirit prevails and we say, Lord, forgive me for this. Deliver me from me and help me to live in your grace, trusting in you. Why is God so concerned about this? Why is Jesus spending time telling stories to people that think they're better than others? Because he wants heaven to rejoice over them as well. Because it is a battle. The devil, the world, our sinful nature are a mess. And too often we can be drawn into, and that's where repentance and the work of the Spirit delivers us, and we trust in the gospel, believing in what Jesus has done for us. And as we live in this rhythm of faith, repentance, trusting in the gospel, the angels of God rejoice over you, rejoice over me, rejoice over all who heed the Holy Spirit's ministry to their hearts and minds, realizing their need for Jesus' love. And the angels of God rejoice. So how do you conclude a message like this, but maybe to sound a little cheesy? So, angels of heaven, party on. Party on over us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that we understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds. In Christ Jesus, amen.